For today, I want to begin a new series of messages focusing on what's coming up in the next several weeks. We are about 1.5 months away from a very significant event, the birth of Jesus Christ. And in these next few weeks, I want to just start talking about some biblical aspects around the coming of Christ. This wasn't just some special child that we all read about. This was God with us, Emmanuel, where God humbled himself and he set apart part of his divine nature to become like us and live among us, experiencing life as we do. Jesus' birth was the greatest gift to mankind, the gift of a Savior. And so we want to explore that gift that God has given us from several, as I said, several scriptural perspectives over the next few weeks to help us really grasp the depth of the meaning of this gift and to have a greater appreciation for what God has done for us and to consider how we should respond to such a gift. And today, I want to begin by considering the idea that God would send a Savior for mankind is not something new that he came up with around the time that Jesus was born. This wasn't just a new idea that he had one day to say, oh, you know what? I know how we can help people with their sin. I'm going to send my son. It was part of God's character. It's always been part of God's character to be a saving God. He's always been one to extend grace and salvation. He's always gone out of his way to rescue people. And we can see that throughout the Old Testament. It's been part of his character from the very beginning. And so, as we observe that character of God in some of the Old Testament writings, I really hope we can see how God's saving nature is part of who he is part of always, of who he always has been, and also to see how that saving nature is uniquely fitted to a need that we have. As we live out our lives and go about all of our daily tasks and routines each day, we may not always understand it, we may not always see it, but we all have a need for a Savior. And God is uniquely qualified to address that need. And what a wonderful gift it is to realize that God, the creator of life, has the ability and the desire to fill that need. So, I'm going to start digging into this a little bit first by looking together at Lamentations chapter 3. So if you have a Bible with you, or if you'd like to borrow one from the sides, go ahead and grab those and open up to Lamentations 3 with me. As you're opening up, I'm going to just give you a little bit of overview of Lamentations. So the book of Lamentations was likely to have been written sometime shortly after the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC. In about 587 BC, the Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem. And this was really the end of the kingdom of Israel at that time. This was when the last of God's chosen people, whom he had rescued in Egypt hundreds of years earlier, whom God had cared for, who he had built up into this great nation, this was when that nation fell. God brought his judgment upon them because of their long-standing sin against him. They ignored the covenant that they had made with God in the very beginning when God said, here are my commands. I will bless you and be your God, and you obey my commands. And the Israelites said, yes, we will do this. But from that point forward, they continued to walk away and continued to ignore those commands. So Lamentations was written shortly after that fall came. It was probably written by the prophet Jeremiah, who in the previous chapter in the Bible warned about this coming judgment. He lived through the fall of Jerusalem. And in this book, he expresses the overwhelming pain and sadness he felt as his homeland was destroyed, as people were taken away. He describes the bitterness of guilt over the sins of God's chosen people and the shock of seeing all these things that he'd been talking about actually come to pass. The Hebrew title I found out for this book literally translates simply to how. How? It's just a simple expression of a person in shock and disbelief and mourning, crying out to God saying, how, Lord? How did this happen? That's what Lamentations is all about. And so I'd like to have us start reading together in chapter 3 this morning. And first of all, know that the writer is speaking about these things that God has done to him personally in this chapter. And understand also that this is a poetic book. The original language for each chapter was actually written as an acrostic, where each successive verse, or each verse is a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So poetic language, you need to know, is just very expressive. It's language that's meant to touch the heart and evoke an emotional response. So as we read this morning, I want you to let it touch your hearts. I want to let it speak to your life. Consider how it applies to you and expresses things that maybe you have felt at different times in your life. So let's read together, beginning at verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. And even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and salted me with gall. He has broken my teeth in gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And I want to stop right there for now. Can you relate to some of the feelings that are being expressed? Or have you at certain times been able to relate to those feelings of pain and loneliness and darkness, the feeling that you've been lost and forgotten? You've forgotten what prosperity looks like. You're weighed down and walled in on every side. It's very common to our human experience. Life has its share of painful and difficult moments. And whether you're experiencing those things right now or whether you've had them in the past, these are things that we all go through and we all feel at different times in our lives. We face those moments where we're left wondering which way to turn, and we're left crying out to God, how? How did this happen? Or why? Why do I have to go through this? Why is this so difficult? And when we look around at other people's lives, we don't always see this in their lives. We often see people who seem to have great success. They seem never to have a worry in life. Things always come easy to them. But if you're really able to see into their lives, to see past those moments that we notice, you'd find struggles. You'd find moments of fear and worry and doubt like this. It's something we all experience. Our response to it tends to be to try to cover it up pretty quickly. Some people try to just numb the pain and forget about it. And this is where all kinds of addictions come into life. They keep us from facing those difficulties. They give us that feeling that everything is good. Some people will put on a tough exterior. They're not going to let anyone know the turmoil that's going on beneath them. They're going to make themselves look good. They're going to just pick themselves up by their bootstraps, and they're going to get through this on their own. They're not going to let you know what's going on beneath the surface. And in the end, they have shallow relationships. And they're left alone because they don't let people see what's really going on. Or sometimes we try to cover up the pain with other things to try to get our attention off of it. We get busy with our lives. We fill up our days with all kinds of activities just to keep us busy and as happy as possible so we don't have to worry about those things that are causing us pain. We throw ourselves into having as much fun and as much joy and as much activity as we can in life rather than stop and deal with the pain and the suffering that comes. None of these things actually fixes those problems. All they do is deny them and cover them up. But it's really important that we stop and we take notice of them. We recognize and admit that they're there. We need to not just rush past these feelings too quickly, because they say something really, really important about us. The point that they make is that we have a need for salvation. We need someone or something to rescue us from this pain and the grief that we have. We need help to get out of the darkness and to overcome the hopelessness that can overwhelm us. We all have this need. And one of the challenges we as Christians face in sharing our gospel in the culture these days is that people often say they don't feel like they need a Savior. They don't have this need to be saved. They're content with their lives, but really their focus is just on the present. And as long as everyone is happy and healthy right now, life is good. The focus sometimes is on material things. We have all that we could want, and it comes easily in our culture. But we don't focus on the relationships we have with one another and the difficulties that are there. We don't focus on the impact that our actions have on the world, or the false sense of security people hang on to until things do go bad. So sometimes our message of the gospel sounds to people like we're focusing on some future unknown that they don't ever think about. We're focused on eternity, life eternal with Christ. We're focused on a salvation that comes when this life ends, that we can be in heaven with the Lord. But people don't stop and think about that. They don't consider that important in their lives. We want to help them understand the eternal consequences of sin and the guilt that we all carry, but so many people are blind to that because they're just focused on the here and the now, and they don't think about troubles that could come. But it's important, I think, to help understand. It's important, I think, to help people understand that the consequence of sin is not just the eternal judgment that comes, but there are consequences here and now. That's what Jeremiah was mourning over in this book of Lamentations. It's not that he doesn't know why all this happened and where it all came from. He's been telling people about it for a long time. He knows why this happened. It was because of the sins of his people. They were paying the price for their sin, and the reality is that they had been suffering for years from the consequences of those sins. Every time that we sin, every time we focus on ourselves rather than on the Lord and His will, we add to the consequences of sin. And those consequences affect us personally. They affect the people close to us. And in reality, they infect the whole world. Our attitude that drives us to sin affects the culture that we live in. And as we as a people continue to embrace sin and selfishness, it just increases the whole mire and muck of sin that we're all living in. Jeremiah suffered personally because of the sins of his people. He certainly had his own sins, but as a man of God, I'm confident that he humbled himself and he asked God's forgiveness and he admitted his sins, but he wasn't spared because of that. From the fate of Israel, the whole nation suffered together as a consequence of their sin. And the consequences of sin around us are affecting us here and now as well. And people need to understand that. They need to know that right now there is pain and difficulty and darkness in our lives because of sin. We need to help people see that sin is not just an eternal thing, but a here and now thing as well. It doesn't help to just cover it up and ignore it. You can't overcome it by your own strength. And so we need to help people see, and we need to do ourselves to see past those blinders, to see the pain we're living in right now, to understand that it comes from our sin, and to understand that we need a Savior. The need to know our need for a Savior doesn't apply just to non-Christians either. It applies to us who know Christ as well. First of all, we too can easily try to cover up the pain and distract ourselves and get into all of the stuff of life that covers it up. But we also have this way of moving too quickly past the pain, I think. We experience difficulty in life, and the first thing we want to do is tell ourselves not to worry about it, because Jesus said not to worry. We're just supposed to have faith in Christ. And we pick ourselves up and we're saying, yep, I'm going to just live by faith. This isn't bad. We're not going to worry about it. We understand that Jesus is our hope and salvation, so we tell ourselves immediately that everything's going to be okay as long as we have faith in Him. And that's true. But what I want us to understand today is that if you just jump to that immediately and try to fix the pain that way, you can tend to lessen your understanding of how much you really need Jesus. And over time, you tend to forget, and you just start to fall into your own patterns again of living for yourself. And sometimes we start to depend on our own faith to save us in that way. Our faith is something that we apply to a situation. And when we say, I just need to have faith, it can become very focused on what you are doing. I'm going to have faith to overcome this situation, is what it starts to become. If we don't really understand what we need, we need to remember that our faith is in Jesus, not in our belief in Jesus, if that makes sense. It's not our faith in Jesus or our belief in Jesus that helps us. It's Jesus Himself. And sometimes we need to be reminded in the depths of our hearts that we can't do anything to save ourselves from the darkness of this world. You have to face that darkness to really know it and understand your need. And so that's why I wanted us to just dwell on the first part of this chapter this morning for a little bit. We need to see the afflictions in our lives. We need to really experience the pain and the injustice and the trials of life. We need to know the brokenness of the world that we live in. We need to look at it long enough to understand that we can't overcome it by ourselves. We don't have the strength and ability to fix it. We can't just cover it up and make things better. So if you take what Jeremiah wrote in verses 19 and 20, where he said, I remember my affliction and my wandering in the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Just take those words and remember sometimes the affliction and the wandering in our own lives. Remember that bitterness and gall of the pain that you suffer sometimes in this world. We need to know that, not just intellectually, but really know it down in our souls and be downcast long enough to know that we need a Savior. We need someone to rescue us. And then once you really know that, then we read on the rest of this chapter. In the midst of that affliction, when Jeremiah's soul is downcast, he sees a ray of light breaking through the darkness. And he writes further, verses 21 through 25. He says, yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. That's when salvation truly comes and has its impact in our lives, when we have been downcast. But in that moment, we turn and we understand that there is a Savior. God has sent us His Son, that God is a saving God. He's no distant Lord and ruler, but He is the one who saves. And because of His great love, we are not consumed. If it were not for His compassions being renewed toward us each and every day, we would be consumed by the sin in our lives. All sin leads to death and darkness, but it's God's compassion that sustains us even while we continue to sin. It's because of His faithfulness that we can have some hope of overcoming the darkness that threatens this world and overtakes our lives, or tries to overtake our lives every day. And so in our affliction and pain, we can look to the one and only true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and say as Jeremiah did, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Then you can know that the Lord never leaves you to suffer alone. He is good to those who seek him. He has given us the Savior we need. And I want to give us just a couple moments just to reflect on that. Our need for a Savior and the Savior that God has given us. I have another video to show you this morning just to give us some time to reflect on what God has done.
To the sorrowful, God sent a man of sorrows. To those who've known betrayal, God sent a faithful and true witness. To those who hunger and thirst for something real, God sent the bread of life and living water. To those who cannot speak for themselves, God sent an advocate and high priest. To those who are alone, God sent Emmanuel, God with us. To those who've been mistreated, God sent a righteous judge. To those whose lives have been filled with torment, God sent the Prince of Peace. To those who feel lost, God sent the Good Shepherd. To those who have no family, God sent the Everlasting Father. To those who are looking for a hero to believe in, God sent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To the man who says, I'm nothing, God sent the I Am. To the woman who thinks there is nowhere to go, God sent a door to life. To those who need wisdom, God sent a wonderful counselor. To those who mourn the grief of death, God sent the resurrection and the life. And to those who realize that they are broken and need a Savior, God sent Jesus Christ, His one and only Son.
We let ourselves stop and think about all those people that they talked about. You can recognize yourself in at least one of those places. You can recognize the need that we all have. But the message today is not one of sorrow and grief, but one of great joy, because God has sent the Savior that we need. And I want to continue to walk through Jeremiah just a little bit more this morning, because one of the things I really enjoy about this passage is Jeremiah didn't end with this call of hope, this statement that God is there. But he goes on in the next few lines to address some of the difficulties we do face in life, to help us see them in a different light, to understand how to seek salvation from the Lord in those moments. And he points to where we can find the goodness and the hope that we need in the midst of those trials. So let's read the next few statements together. I'm going to stop after each one and just comment on them. Starting in verse 26. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And that's one of the things I'm trying to draw out this morning. Sometimes it's the very thing we need to do is just to wait quietly. Stop trying so hard to fix everything on our own. Stop looking for the answers for yourself, but to wait quietly for the Lord's salvation to come from Him. God, I've seen over and over as I've worked as a pastor, I've seen God working in ways that we never expected Him to act. And we can see Him act more clearly when we wait quietly for Him. The next verse, he says, it's good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. He's referring to an ox pulling a plow, wearing that yoke, just doing the work that you've been given to do. That's honestly part of the pain we experience in this life is from the labor that we do. It gets difficult. God warned Adam it would be. But it's also important to stop and recognize the good that comes from our labor. It's not only in providing goods and services to others and giving of ourselves, but it's also the building up of our character. God gives us good work to do in order to make good fruit in our lives. And it gives us the hope that there is some hope in the difficulty of our labor. Verse 28 says, "Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him." There are those moments when there is silence in our life, when you're alone, when the work is done, and you have a moment just to think and breathe. It's something that God lays upon us. It's important that we don't fill it up too quickly right away with other things. It could be a moment to reflect on a change in direction in life that God is leading you to. It could be a moment to see more clearly where God is leading. It could be a moment just to experience His closeness in a time of trouble. Take that moment of silence as a gift from God and find your foundation and direction there. Don't just fill it in quickly with noise and thoughts. Verse 29, "Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope." And again, emphasizing that this morning, that there are difficult times that come. Go ahead in those moments to take the time to grieve and mourn, to express the pain that you're feeling. God gives us that in order to be able to release it to Him. And it's important that we don't just release it, but to release it to Him and to have Him direct us back to where we find true hope and to have that hope that there will be a turn that's coming. "Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace." Now, this is a difficult thing to do, to allow disgrace and anger to come your way. A lot of the pain we face in life comes through other people. We need to accept that it will come, and we need to face even that with hope in the Lord. Sometimes taking that persecution, that disgrace from others, could be a good humbling moment for us, to remind her to humble ourselves before the Lord. Remember that we are sinners saved only by our grace, by God's grace and our faith in Him. Sometimes it's a way of demonstrating, or it's a way for us to demonstrate the love and grace of God. Rather than turning and sinning against another person and taking out our anger and frustration on them, it's a moment for us to turn and show God's love and grace, to show that there is salvation that comes from Him. And this is not something you just do with your own strength of will, but rather knowing that your hope is in the salvation of the Lord, that God will speak to that person's life and help them to see how to deal with that anger or that disgrace in a different way. It's not by our strength that we fight back and argue, but we want to continue to extend God's grace in those moments. Now, in the next few verses, Jeremiah writes, "For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is His unfailing love. For He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men." And the rest of the chapter goes on to describe more of God's saving character. He sees the injustices in the world. He knows the terrible things that people do to each other. And where men may think they have power over one another, Jeremiah declares that they are deceived. The Lord is the authority of all things. And while He may allow some suffering to come to our lives, to train us and to discipline those He loves, He also watches over our lives. And those who trust in Him, He will protect and He will provide for from now all the way into eternity. So today, let's be reminded that we do face difficult trials in life. And those trials serve at least this one purpose. They make it clear that we need help. We need a Savior. Let's fully accept that reality. Let's embrace with all the more joy and all the more excitement the fact that God has sent that Savior. Jesus came into the world to be that Savior for us. There's no one who's gone too far away. There's no one whose circumstances are too difficult. He gives hope to all of those who will seek Him. If we turn to Him in faith and trust in the salvation that He provides, He will come to be part of your life forever. He will show you compassion that you've never realized before, and He will cover you with His unfailing love. So as we start to progress toward this celebration of Jesus' birth coming up in a little over a month, let's not just be reminded of our need for him. But let's know with all of our hearts, because we've taken the time to recognize just how much we need him, let's know what an incredible gift God has given us. Let's celebrate with all the more joy then. So let's give him thanks as we close out our time together. Let's praise him with loud and joyful voices as we sing one more song today. Let's give thanks to him now. Lord God, we thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for being present in those moments of trial that we face in life, Lord. We thank you for comforting us when we suffer. We pray that we can help be your vehicles to express that need of a Savior to the world around us. We pray that we would recognize it even more today as we've taken time to reflect. And let that knowledge of the need, Lord, drive us to something greater. Let it drive us to faith in Jesus Christ. Let it drive us to celebrating with joy and embracing your presence in our lives in each and every moment. We thank you for everyone gathered here today, Lord. We thank you for being our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.